Blog Talk Radio.
Glorious and victorious Sunday it is. Another day, another opportunity that you and I have here on the planetary domain. By way of the Blog Talk Network, we are proudly bringing to you the Wisdom Alliance Network, heard on all seven continents around the world, here to bring you the unadulterated and the perfect word of God. For we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And we are so blessed and definitely so privileged and honored to be with you here. That's right, on this glorious and victorious day it is, the 15th day of the month of January, the year 2017. And let me tell you something. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Why? Because God doesn't look at time as merely being an interval of measurement or a standard of measurement. He looks at time as a way of span and of opportunity. And because he looks at time as being a span and way of opportunity, he has devised or created seasons. Seasons are times in which certain characteristics, this is a rare word of knowledge out there for someone here in listening land. Seasons are devised as a way. God created seasons, by the way. Man didn't do that. The intelligence of God masterfully so created seasons as a way of organizing certain things in the atmospheric standards of creation. That's right. Certain things materialize or configurate in conjunction to seasons. That's right. And I'm going to break it down a little bit more clarifyingly so for those of you who may be in a bit of derision and not quite understand. Let's look at the season of spring. God created spring. Why? Spring represents the rebirthing, the changing over process of things from the previous season, in which we know the previous season was winter, okay? But spring represents revitalization, restructuring, renewal. That's right. It means the springing forth of new life, God breathing new life into the atmospheric existence, into the hemisphere, into the ionosphere, into the stratosphere. So certain things begin to take manifesto or take place during spring. First thing happens, the days become longer. That's right, the days are much longer than they were in the winter months. And the second thing that we notice, the sun shines a little bit brighter. That's right. It's far more extensive than it was during the bleakness of the winter months. And despite the fact that it's sunny in the winter months, the sun doesn't shine as effervescently so in the winter as it does in the spring. Another characteristic of spring is that, you know what? You begin to notice the buds on the trees are beginning to formulate and to hatch. That's right. The colors begin to blossom in this kaleidoscope, this tapestry of nature's beauty itself. The grass begins to turn greener. That's right. The flowers begin to bud. The very colors, the very tapestry of nature begin to take manifesto. That's right. The skies look bluer. You can hear the birds singing. That's right. You can hear the chirping of the crickets letting you know it's spring. It's time for new life, new phase, new existence in your life. And this is springtime. And then you begin to see certain insects. That's right. You begin to see a minor presence of bees that start to come out because they don't like the colder weather. It definitely is not a positive affirmation for them. So they go into hiding. They hibernate. and then they come out when the weather gets warm. You start to see bees. That's right. You start to see a few flies. That's right. You start to see things that were hidden in the winter. The blanket of winter covers up everything. And even so in spring, and a more, how to say, hilarious note, that you actually begin to see what you've been doing in the winter months. That's right. If you put on a few pounds in the springtime, your body will definitely confirm that. And, you know, you'll be able to see those clothes are fitting a little bit more tighter than before. That's right. Because why? The springtime is a time of revealing. What's ever done in the winter season, the spring will reveal it. Now, here comes, lo and behold, the summer months. The summer months. What does summer represent? Summer represents the heat, the fervency. If you're ever going to put anything in the ground and for it to grow and to blossom and to just really progress at a ratio that's astronomically stupendous, that time is in the summer. Why? Because the ground has definitely thawed out from the spring. We call it the spring thaw. Well, the summer sun, the soleil, has become more effervescent. And what happens is that the ground, if there was any ice under that ground left behind during the spring thaw, that ice has totally melted. The ground is fervent. It's apt so that things of the nature of the vegetarian way or the plant way or the botanical way can be planted and transplanted in the ground. Why? Because the ground is hot. It's fervent. It's fervor there. That's right. And then the rains will come and make sure that the, you know, whatever is planted, the crop or the vegetation or the plant life or the botanical presentation will grow to its fullest level of expectation, sometimes even beyond. So summer represents the fervor. That's right, because the clothes become a little more scant because the temperatures are higher. That's why the temperatures are much warmer. The days are long. That's right, the days are long, and the nights are shorter. That's right. The very evidence, the very epitome of daylight savings time, DST, has really, really been made visible during this time. It seems as though the days last forever, and the nights are so short and so forgotten. The sun is shining. You know, people who were hidden during the winter months and not that visible during the spring months are either on vacation or else taking a break from their daily regimens or weekly rituals and are doing things outside of the daily expectations or the required expectations of life. They're taking time to relax, to rejuvenate, to revitalize. They're getting into recreation. Why? Because it's summer, the fun time of the year, time to live it up and get those seeds planted. That's what summer represents. And for the children who attend school, it's a time of semester break. For the staff that works very diligently, for the most part, it's time to relax and go on what they call summer recess. That's right, and enjoy the very splendors of life. Why? Grab it while you can, because pretty soon the weather is going to change over. The characteristics of the environment will shift. The paradigms will change. And so everybody's grabbing all the sunshine that they can and enjoying the free time of being able to move around and about. Because you know why? Preparing for the next season, which will be referred to as autumn or fall. The temperatures get a little cooler. The days are not quite as long. The children are going back to school, so the recreation time is cut short. The family fun and venting time is going to greatly diminish because then we'll be back to business as usual. And even to those of us who are educators who work in the environment, we know, too, that we're gearing up for the challenges and for the very victories of the upcoming year. And we're progressing headward on. And this is what Father represents, a time to harvest. What have you prepared for in the spring? What have you planted in the summer? And I know a lot of people do plant in spring, but some people plant in summer because, again, they know that the ice is thoroughly decimated underground. Fall or autumn reveals the evidences of what you have planted in those previous two seasons. Because it's harvest time. You don't plant anything during the harvest time. During the harvest time of the autumnal season, you are harvesting. You are not sowing. You are reaping. You're bringing in the sheaves, all that you have planted. Despite whether that outcome has been horrendous or it's been scant, you are going to harvest what has been planted. You cannot harvest that which has not been planted. That's why it's so important to prepare in the spring. And in the latter part of spring, even so, preparing to plant in the early phases of summer so that fall will bring about an increase because the temperatures are cooler. The days become shorter and the nights longer. That's right. Why? Time to prepare, time to harvest, because we know that the turn of things will quickly come. And here comes winter, a time where things are blanketing. The silence. Many people think about winter as a time of preparing for festivities and holidays, but abstinent of worldly celebrations. Winter represents a time of silence, a time of complacency, a time of reflection, a time of really facing the truth about life, about your existence and your progression. It's a time to blanket up and to draw warmth from those experiences and to revamp and to rethink without interference. This is what winter represents, the colder temperatures, the shortness of days, the elongation of nights, oftentimes the bleakness, the quietness of night, because if there's a snowfall, you can't hear the footsteps. And the bleakness of the temperatures dropping, you can't hear the birds singing. You will not hear the very things that you've heard in the previous months. Because why? Winter represents a time of seeking refuge. And this is why it's so important to regard each of these seasons. God created seasons for us to benefit from. We can't do in the springtime what we would be acclimated to do in the winter. We couldn't do in the fall what we're acclimated to do in summer. God sets a balance, a universal pattern for us to adhere to for whatever time it is in our lives that we may be inspired to function in that capacity to receive the greatness of God. You cannot proclaim it's a season of prosperity in your life when God said there's something in your body, your physical body, that needs to be healed, and I'm healing you. So why? Because God has constructed seasons for a reason. That's right. You can't proclaim physical healing in your body and you're in perfect health when your finances need to be restored and revitalized and you need to prosper so that you can pay all of your financial obligations. You can't do it. You are in a season for God's hand to be as Jehovah Jireh. That's right, God, our provider. And when you're in the season, when you need physical healing, you're in the season of Jehovah Rapha, which means God, our healer. You can't be in the season of restoration and then turn around and want to call on Jehovah Rapha to heal you. You have no physical or psychological affliction. That's right. You can't call on him in a season when you need to restore and revitalize. God is your salvation. And here you're talking about Jehovah Jireh. You don't need any financial restorations. You're set. But what you need is Jehovah Nissi, God our banner. That's why God our banner, to restore and to revitalize the empowerment of your salvation. So we have to learn to respect the seasons that God has placed in our lives. Right here and now, I'm in the season of prosperity, of financial prosperity. The world where many of you are configurating in that season. Some of you are in the season of experiencing the hand of God healing your body, healing your mind. Jehovah Rapha, respect and regard that season and stay in formulation so that you can receive the fullness thereof. Some of you are needing that existential spiritual touch in your life, and you need Jehovah Nissi, that banner. That's right, that's right. And some of you are needing the righteousness of God to overstep and supersede the very epitome of your flesh. That's why you need Jehovah Tiskenu, God our righteousness. That's right. God is our banner, Jehovah Nissi, but God our righteousness, Jehovah Tiskenu. So regard the seasons and know that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Become abstinent of what's going on in this world and come focus with God. You've allowed the distractions, present world, of the present society to distract you, to disdain you, to diminish you. And you must remember what our Messiah told us. He said, behold, Jesus told us, I am the victory that overcometh the world and even your faith. That's right. So in knowing this, we have to be confident in the fact that we walk by faith and we don't walk by sight. For faith is that substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that we don't see, so that we'll know what time it is and we know what season it is. That's right. And we can receive the very finest that God has to offer us. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for the knowledge of your word, for the presence of thy blessed anointing, for the very touch of thy very presence, and which makes change happen. Change that is not oftentimes welcome. Change that's not oftentimes anticipated, but it makes change happen in the favor of your children. Bless us and prosper us today as we go into your word. For Lord, we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Father God, we thank you. We praise you for victory. We praise you for divine breakthroughs. We praise you for being that presence that fights our battles and hands us the victory. Oh, Father God, we praise you for just being God, and beside you there being none other. There are definitely no things, no man, no situation that can stand up to the name of Jesus Christ. For in the name of Jesus, Yeshua, every knee must bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Amen, and we praise you. We thank you. Bless and touch each and every last one of your listeners, no matter where they are. In this world where we know where your spirit is, there is liberty there. And I bless us on Jesus Christ's name. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify you and glorify you exceedingly. Amen. Thank God for Jesus today. And let me tell you something. There's going to be confusion in the world. We're going to see people that are going to do things, they're going to say things and act out of character. But you know what I lost? Again, I said this earlier, but it's the word, it's scriptural. Jesus told us, our Messiah told us, behold, I am the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. He's the victory. Sometimes you just got to say, Lord, have mercy. Father God, help us. Jesus, Lord, our God, save us. And that's what Peter said. He looked at the situation, and in the days of when, after Pentecost that came, you read the second chapter, the first chapter of the book of Acts. Some still didn't believe. Some still didn't want to be rectified or justified. What did Peter say? With many other words in the second chapter of the book of Acts, he said, did he exhort and say unto them, save yourself from this untoward generation. That's sometimes what you have to do. You're not going to be, just because you're a messenger of God's word doesn't mean that everybody is going to receive your message Everybody's not going to flock to the truth. Some people would rather believe a lie and be condemned than to hear one ounce of truth that would save them and set them on the right path. They would rather follow darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. Nobody wants to be revealed. Springtime reveals people. They like winter because they can cover up. If they put on a few pounds, they cover up. Nobody will know. But when spring comes along, and the word of God springs forth, and the truth comes forth, they get mad and look for that winter blanket because they want to hide and be comfortable in their unrighteousness. But it doesn't happen like that. God said in his word that, you know what? What is done in the dark will be made manifest by the work of light. And it's not you. It's the presence of God that abides within you. That's right. So we have to continue this walk, not by flesh, but by faith, so that we won't waver, that we won't fall short. Not saying we're not going to fail, faith. And sometimes we will not make the mark, but then we got to get back on and steady the course. That's why get a little bit more focused, get a little bit more precise, precision, and we become a little less more distracted. That's what we have to do. Now, let's go to a very familiar passage of scripture that I've spoken on previously, but feel the need and necessity before. It seems as though the Lord has really been dealing with me in the way of the elementation and the intervals of time. Everybody is so concerned with time in this day and age. Time seems to be the most fierce opponent of mankind. We think that it's the weather conditions. We think that it's the environmental projections. We think that it's people, places. We think it's family members. We think it's our significant others. No, time is oftentimes the most controversial foe that we have outside of ourselves. I hear people in times past, they used to say, you know what? You can't fight fate. You can't cheat Mother Nature, and you can't fool Father Time. And this, that meant that, you know, you may turn around and look good right here and right now, but as years progress, you're going to make some changes that you don't really want to make as it relates to your appearance, as it relates to the way you think, and even how you operate. That's right. And those things were elemental at that time, but they were not of futile importance. But, you know, as you begin to progress in age, you begin to mature, you realize that some of those jargons had some very clarifying meanings. That's right. And this is why we're going to go to this familiar passage of Scripture. I was listening to a song by the group Chicago from 1971, and the song had some really catchy lyrics in it. Let me tell you something. God wants us to use this world as a footstool. That means to utilize the good in it, the bad and cast it asunder. And music is one way of connecting and communicating with other people of diverse cultures and influences of all levels. And I've always been a person that appreciated older music. That's why all the way ranging from classical music, chamber music from the 1800s, all the way to the big band sounds and the sounds of older artists in the time that music meant something, had positive messages in the early stages of Motown. Look as low to me that when Motown decimated, everything else just decimated. But nevertheless, there's message and there's very significant messages that can be garnered or scribed from musical selections or even from the lyrics itself. And there was a group by Chicago that made a song called "Does Anyone Really Know What Time It Is?" And I listened to that song about how this young man was going down the street one day. And a man that was walking along the way, he was looking at him, and he didn't have on a watch. And apparently the watch that he had on was broken. And he asked him, "Do you really know what time it is?" And then the artist said, in response, he said, "Does anyone seem to care?" You know, people always want to put influences upon time, but they've got, you know, all the time to die and very little time to get anywhere. And it really made a lot of sense. Now listen to the second stanza of the song. I'm giving you a synoptic overview of this song, and I'm going into the definitive lyrics. And then he said he was walking down the street one day, and a very attractive woman came his way, and she had on this very elegant watch. And just like that other man who had on a watch that was, you know, inexpensive, however, her watch, because it was expensive, it had diamonds in it, it was broken steel. So the significance of the stature of the economic variation did not matter. Her watch was broken just like the cheap watch was broken. And then she asked him, too, did he know what time it was? Then the question that he answered her with was, does anybody really know what time it is? Does anyone even care? People got all the time they want to get nowhere, but they've got all the time in the world to die or to leave this world. They never think about that time. And he said, you know what, as a result of considering all these things, I'm not stressing out about what time it is. I'll get there when I get there, some way, somehow, somewhere. He says, I just don't care. That's right. He says, I just don't care. And he's really saying in the synopsis overview of the song, as I broke it down a little bit by each of the lyrical stanzas, is that, you know, stop emphasizing so much about time, what you put on, what you achieve, what you do, you know, in a formulation of the temporal. Because then again, when the infinite comes in, everything in the temporal will be left behind. That's what the song is saying. And this is what the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, the preacher, is saying. To everything there is a season. Then we just say that. And a time to every purpose under heaven. What he's saying is this. Solomon is saying, you know, for everything that is structured in this world, there's a purpose for it. There is nothing in the visible realm of things that does not have a definitive purpose. It may not be as paramount as other things, but despite how minuscule and minute it is in the area of importance, is not the factor. It's the fact that it serves a purpose. Seasons, as I said, serves as intervals of separation that God gives balance to society. You could not live in this world and every, you know, season was summer. You couldn't live in this world every season was winter. Nothing would ever grow. Nothing would ever get done. We'd all be well overweight. We all would be in a somatic mindset or too relaxed of a mindset if we were all into winter every season of the year. And if it were summer every season of the year, everything would be scorched. Nothing would ever have the chance to make manifest and grow. That's why people will be having fun all the time, and therefore no work would be done. That's why we will be too laid back and too much in the vacational mindset or framework of things. If everything in every season was always spring, we would always be getting renewed, and nothing would mature. See, summer allows time for maturity. That's right. So nothing would get done. If every season was fall, we would all be harvested, and nothing would be left. So seasons bring balance. Seasons bring format. Seasons bring organizational structure into our lives, as it does the very patterns of our weather. And that's why God created seasons. He said, and time. Time is our intervals of measurement. That's right. Or spans of measurement. That's right. There's a lot into seconds, days, minutes, hours, years, months. That's right. It's a way to keep us balanced. That's right. See, seasons organize, but time gives us balance. The first time that there is in verse 2 in the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, a time to be born. That means it's a time to come into recognition of the world. When a child is born, that child becomes knowledgeable of the fact that he or she is no longer protected in the mother's womb. They're on the external factor of things. This is the reason why the physician takes his hand or her hand and slaps the child so the child can acknowledge that he's no longer, she's no longer in that protective vortex, that they're on the external projection of things. And that slap is for them to get their breath, their lungs to start working so that they can draw that first breath. And a time to die. What does that mean? It's a time to expire. I know talking about this makes a lot of people uncomfortable, but the truth of the matter is everything that is born in the natural will one day expire, that's right, or make their transition, deceased, die, or leave this world, or pass. It's all the same thing. But when you are a child of God, you have received the acknowledgement of our divine creator, and you have attained salvation, and you are a work in progress, you don't fear leaving this world, because Apostle Paul said to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. You don't fear that. You fear the fact that as you live, sometimes you experience things that are beyond your grasp of understanding. And because of uncertainty and the fleshly fear, we're not to fear anything in this world, because God has promised us the victory and that he would put us on top each and every time, and that he will work the miracles for us if we let him. But what happens is that we get in the flesh and we start doing things in the flesh, and then we start getting our blood pressure starts elevating, our pulse starts, you know, escalating, because we're getting into the flesh and acting out of character. When you get in the flesh, you start acting out of character, and that's what happens to us. And the thing is that when God tells us to trust him, he needs every aspect of our lives. And I know the Lord dealt with me this week and told me to do something. Here I am going to do it in my own strength. And after he told me, you did what I told you to do, I have already fixed it for you. Everything is in your good favor. And I'm going to turn around and try to check up and see what God's doing. I got the busy signal. That was my confirmation of what God had told me. Don't do it. When God said he fixed it, he said it, that settles it. It can't be challenged. So that's what we have to learn how to do. So when we say things have to die, I mean things have to come to an end. You know, everything that's created by hands and by man comes to an end. That beautiful automobile that you look at, one day you're going to go outside to crank up that baby, and guess what? She's not going to be cranking up right. You're going to either get her service or else you're going to say moving on and get another vehicle. That's right. You know, those favorite pair of shoes that you love to wear 5 days a week, and because they're stylish and they profile you in such a way that's complimentary to your appearance, one day you're going to go to put on those shoes and the heel may fall off, or the buckle may become unattached, or just there may be a little hole at the toe of the shoe, or the bottom of the shoe starts wearing away so badly it's eroding that it's embarrassing, you can't wear it anymore. You're going to have to get the bottom replaced if you want to continue to wear the shoe, because everything created by hands is going to come to an end. And you have to realize that man born in the world is a few days and full of trouble. This is life. But the season that you're born and you're traveling through this journey called life, you are to make a difference. That's why, because God made you different to make a difference. Okay, a time to plant. Remember I talked about planting, people can plant late in the spring or early summer. Those are the formidable times. Early summer is actually the most primal time. See, spring gets the ground ready, but see, early summer, the ground is ready for things to be planted, whether it's, you know, of the floral nature, the botanical nature, whether it's of the agrarian nature. It's a formidable time to plant. That's right, because why? We know that it will become a time to pluck up that which is planted. It will be harvesting time soon. That will be fall soon. And, you know, that means that it's too late to plant now because the ground is getting too cold. It's drying up and drying out. Whatever you planted previously is now ready for the harvest. There's no planting time now. Third verse, a time to kill. What does that mean? I'm not saying, oh, go out there, somebody makes you mad. Go out there and kill them. No. What he's saying is that a time to kill, that means a time to remove things from you. You know, like I say, throw a kill switch means cut it off, get rid of it. It comes a time, you know, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a friendship, whether it's something you've been doing, sometimes it comes that season in your life, you've got to get rid of it. If it's not profiting you, it's not prospering you. If it's not profiting your relationship with God, it's not prospering your relationship with God. You've got to get rid of it. And so it means you got to kill it. You got to leave it alone. You got to stand up and say, you know what, enough is enough. This is gone. Goodbye. A time to heal. There comes a season in your life when it's the rightful time to heal. You know, you've got to let some things go. You're not going to figure out everything. You're not going to be able to master everything when it relates to people on a colloquial basis. When it comes time to heal, it means that it comes a time you got to let things go. Stop harboring that deep resentment because you weren't treated fair in your childhood or you felt as though you were less than equivalent to your siblings or you were less than equivalent to your classmates or you felt that you were abused in a relationship that you trusted someone, you know, in handling the affairs of your heart. You've got to heal. Healing is layer by layer. Sometimes it's spontaneous and sometimes it's sporadic. That's why there's two manifestos of the way healing comes. I'll tell you again, it's spontaneous. Some things are life-threatening or bringing you down, killing your productivity. You've got to heal from it from that moment. That's right, immediately. Some things are urgent. But spontaneously means it's a process. It's an exchanging process. Sometimes that exchanging process means that you've got to admit how the situation made you feel, admit the impact that it had on your life, admit the impact that it has on the way that you connect and communicate with people, and then you've got to admit the fact that you need divine help and intervention, but you're willing. You're a willing participant because God is not going to bend your arm and twist your leg to make you do anything. So healing, in that matter, is sporadic. It's over a period of time. And what happens is that you learn from the experience so that you can share and network with others. He says, a time to break down and a time to build. That's the third verse. A time to break down. What does that mean? It means that it comes a time you have to just tear things down. We're all works in progress. We're not a completed creation yet. We are a progressive work in movement. That's right. We're in momentum of being changed, of being altered, of being altercated, being pared down, being fueled. That's right, being built, restructured, realigned, redesigned. Why? For the master's use, because God doesn't want any cowardly soldiers. He doesn't want any half-constructed buildings. We've got to be that sure foundation because the world, the people in the world are going to be looking to us to be that answer that they need. They're going to be looking at us when they are casted down. They got to look at us and say, you know what? That's messed up. Look how good you look. Look how good you dress. Look how healthy you are. Look how your mind is focused. What kind of, you know, you don't seem to be lacking anything. We've got to be that pillar on that post. We got to be on the corner where that chief cornerstone is so that we can enlighten people. So we have to be built up. And so sometimes in God preparing us to be built, he has to chasten us. He has to remove us from people. Sometimes he allows breakups so that they can be a makeup. Sometimes he moves us apart to move us up. That's right. Sometimes he takes us down so he can raise us up. We have to respect the season because the season is the reason. What time is it? Do you know what time it really is? Don't look at your watch if you're in the Eastern time zone of things and say, you know what, it's 12:35. Or if you're in the other time zones, you might say it's 9:35. If you're somewhere else in the world on of the other continents and say it's 4:30 in the morning, we're not concerned with what the interval of time is as it allots to your analog or your digital timepiece. We're concerned with what time it is in your life. Is it a time for you to let go of the foolishness you said that you want to get this new attitude for this new latitude and get this new latitude to increase this new attitude, the momentum of the attitude so you can get to where you need to be? Sometimes you've got to come to an agreement within yourself that, Lord, I've been doing things in my own strength, and it has not been working. I've been doing things in my own way, and it has not prospered me. I've been connecting with people that I should not have connected with when you told me to remove myself. I need to acknowledge what time it is within me because you want to do a great work within me. But that means I got to move me out the way so that you can have your way. Lord, I am willing to do this because I recognize it's time for me to move up in my life. Listen, we're going to continue on with this message. And listen, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, for God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all things that we're able to ask and even think. You've got your host with the most from Coast to Coast, the Esquire, Abby A. Felton, with Motor City Maharani, say, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, by way of the Wisdom Alliance's strongest foregoing network on the planet today. You may inbox your prayer request, and definitely make sure that whatever you do with a heavenly mind, and be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, for he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask. And even think, we'll see you again real soon. Oh, yeah.